When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Nikki and Steve, please keep me anonymous or make up a fun nickname. Also, sorry if this is too long. What's her nickname?
Tutankhamun.
Or she or he.
Tutankhamun.
I actually don't know the gender because there's no name.
Tutankhamun.
Tutankhamun? What does that mean? What does that mean?
Well,
Tutankhamun?
Tutankhamun.
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 I don't get it.
Like the Egyptian king, the pharaoh. King Tut.
Okay.
There it is.
All right. Sorry we gave you a nickname. I apologize deeply now. Hello, welcome back to Shit That Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limon.
Hello, everybody. What's up? It's Crypto King here.
Okay. We have taken more of your questions, your lovely, lovely questions, to answer today on our lovely, lovely show. Again, we are not experts at anything. This is for entertainment purposes only. If you take our advice, that's on you. It's on you, bro.
That's your problem.
Our disclaimer there. If you have a question that you would like us to answer on any subject that we are not experts on, again, podcast at nikki.limo is where you're going to want to send those. Podcast at nikki.limo. Like a
also,
limousine.
If you'd like to support our show, check us out on Patreon.
Maybe on Patreon. Patreon.com/sticky. S-T-I-K-K-I. You'll get many, many perks. Including Steve's crypto corner stream
every week
for hours at a time. We got a monthly live stream, we got early episodes, all kinds of stuff. Also, we do a free world poker tournament that we've been doing every month.
We got fantasy football leagues now.
We just keep adding more fucking stuff for you to win on our podcast, on our Patreon. Excuse me. Anyway, let's jump into these questions, shall we?
Yep.
Okay. This first one. It comes with a trigger warning in the title. So, trigger warning. I want to end my life after heartbreak. Oh my gosh.
Oh, geez.
Okay. So, hi, Nikki and Steve. I understand this email is a little dark, so I'd understand if you decide to skip, but would appreciate anything you would have to say. Okay. I was broken up with by my boyfriend of 10 years about 5 months ago. I could tell he fell out of love with me for a while, but I was in denial and held on until he couldn't anymore. It absolutely devastated me as he was my first for everything, and I believe I believe I a trauma bond. Not sure how familiar you are with that. Maybe she meant like have a trauma bond.
She has a trauma bond.
Okay. We've maintained contact since, and I'm aware that's not healthy. So I plan on going no contact here soon, but I still struggle hard every day. The most recent painful thing that's happened is that he told me he was going on a weekend trip with his lesbian female friend and that they're not going to do anything inappropriate, but she's moving away and they wanted to spend one last time together. They have plans to hike, spend the night, and then spend the next day doing who knows what. Hearing this broke me all over again for various reasons, as I have deep trust issues / insecurities, and I don't want to be naive. She may not have an attraction to him, but I don't doubt he does for her. That's not the most hurtful part, though. It's the fact that for years I begged him to do that kind of stuff with me, and it never happened. I knew that's very painful. The few times we did go hiking, we never made a weekend out of it. We drove there, hiked, and then went back home. And then someone else comes along and he goes out of his way to spend time with her, and she didn't even have to ask. It's like he's more sad about her moving a whole 2 hours away than he is about not having me in his life ever again. It's clear he cares more for her than he did for me. I'm in therapy, but the overthinking of him falling for someone else, sleeping with someone else, having a life with someone else kills me. Don't get me wrong. I've had thoughts of suicide my whole life, but this is pushing me over the edge. I just never caught a break my whole life. The reason I'm here is due to the few people I know that would be hurt if I went through with it, but I'm at the point of wishing I was dead every day. My birthday is in 2 weeks from writing this. I'll be 24, Aries. Woo. Oh yeah, this was a couple months ago. I'm behind, sorry. But I wish it was my last. The pain and frustration of life is too much. Damn. I'm sorry for this being so long and sad. I don't want to give up, but then again, I do. How can I detach myself from the person I fell for to who he is now? How do I cope with knowing in his eyes I wasn't worth it? This podcast is something I look forward to every week. Keeps me going. Thank you both for existing. I'm so grateful. Sincerely, Sad Girl. Aw, sad girl.
Listen, dude. This is a toughie for sure.
It definitely breaks my heart.
It's so easy to say this kind of shit, but it really is true. Yeah. Like, you're going through the thick of it. You can't see out of the storm, but you really will get out of it.
Yeah,
it just takes time.
I relate so hard to you at this exact age. At 24,
yeah, same.
Was when I was going through
my most brutal breakup ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing where, like, all the things I wanted him to do with me, he was just doing with other people. And it was like, why was it so hard for me to, like I had to fight and cry and, like, do all this stuff, and he still wouldn't do it. And then, like, these other people just get to do that. And it was really hurtful, for sure. But that's how you know that it wasn't the right person.
Exactly,
right?
Though.
And I do believe now, and, like, hindsight is 2020, obviously, and it's super easy to say this now, like, 12 years later. But I think I was getting thrown those experiences that threw me to, like, the depth of my emotion, like you feel right now, because I felt so similar to that. Because you need them to compare when you have the opposite. You know, when you really do find that person, that true soul connection, like, it's so obvious. Like, it just, like, jumps out at you because of what you thought was love and what you thought, like, you had to do to get that love, and how hard it was and how painful when you were rejected by it and all of this stuff, and you were just clinging for so long. And then in comparison, how easy it is when it's, like, the person.
Also, like, why don't you deserve, like, to go on a hike with somebody who wants to, like, hang there?
Who wants to be,
like,
there?
Why don't you deserve, like, all, like, what you wanted out of your old relationship? You had complaints. It's not like you're telling us how perfect it was.
Yeah.
So that's, like, it's kind of hard to see, though, because you're in the middle of the heartache and you're dreading. It's just a lot of dread.
And you're having,
right?
Like, a hard time letting go.
Yeah.
But you do need to. And you even said that you're very self-aware that yes. You want to go no contact soon. Like, you have to go no contact
soon.
You absolutely have to do that. It does hurt. You're going to think about them a lot.
Dude, this sucks.
You can't even imagine yourself with someone else, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But the more you go without, the, like, it's like the tide washing away a footprint. You know, it just gets less and less and less and less until you barely remember what it was like to be with that person. And you have to give yourself that time. And during that time, you just gotta become your own fan. Like, you gotta become, yes, like, a hype man for yourself. You gotta, like, figure out all the reasons why you fucking rule and why it was their loss. And like, until you really believe that, where you're really like, I fucking rule. Like, I'm having so much fun with me.
Yep.
Like, I don't, like, they missed out. Like, they're missing out on all this fucking awesome time that I am. Because right now, what you are is you're letting all your energy go to them. Where, like, it's like you don't even remember who you are without them. Like, you're, and it gives off this energy of, like, you're giving your power away.
Yes, exactly. You have to love yourself. I know that's all corny shit, but you really do have to love yourself so that, you know, you have an emotional core that you can always, you know, have, like, a steady understanding of self, so that you're not worried about what your partner does or what they don't do and how much that's going to ruin your whole day.
Yeah. And I know it's really hard to, like, what do I have to hype myself up about, like, when you're feeling that way? And this is the part that takes a little bit of work. But if you can, like, really take stock of what you're grateful for in life. I know it sounds like cliche, but, like, what you're grateful for, and, like, things that if you were your friend, let's say you're your best friend and you're introducing yourself to somebody, like, what would your best friend say about you? Like,
right.
What would, like, how would they describe you to someone new, you know? And that's when you can really, like, figure out your good qualities, where you're like, yeah, I am really funny, or, like, I am, like, really kind.
People
and
do love me. Why do they love me so
Yeah,
much?
Why do they love me?
Exactly.
I mean, you said, like, those few people that would be really hurt if you went through with ending your life, like, what would they say about you? Like, I'm sure there's many things that they love about you, and find those within yourself to love about yourself, and then like, just keep expanding on that. Like, every day be like, yeah, I am really, really nice to animals. Like, I'm super compassionate, like, whatever the things are. Nothing's too silly. Also, just finding a hobby that like you're like that you can get into, like where you could like spend like some hours
change
in there.
Your routine a little
and
bit.
And it doesn't have to matter. Like, don't think of the end game. Don't think of, like, where's this hobby going? Just like something that you have fun just doing and like being with.
Yep.
Yeah. You and you know, play around. Like, maybe start with journaling, or maybe start with, you know, something you saw on YouTube that looked cool, like making clay pots or some shit. I don't know. Like, but just get really into it where you're like this. You're in the moment. I think that a lot of healing comes from when you can immerse yourself in the present moment and when you're creating something.
100%.
So, yeah, I feel you, man. Like, I'm sorry you're going through that.
If not for our breakups, though, we really wouldn't ever have gotten better.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm so glad I went through every one. My worst one was the same thing as you, early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
This was before I was on YouTube or anything like that. But it was just one of those things where you just had your whole life was so intertwined with theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And like you're thinking about their family and all that kind of stuff. And you're like, I guess I don't know those people anymore. It's like the weirdest adjustment.
Yeah. Or even like that feeling of why not me? Like, why didn't they choose me?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I chose them. Why didn't they choose me back? Like they said that they chose me, but they didn't like really in their heart. Like they didn't want to go on a hike with me. They didn't want to plan a whole vacation with me.
I remember being jealous of my ex's brother because my ex had to love her brother. That's how jealous I was. That's how much I thought I loved this chick.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, she has to love him. Like, man, that'd be cool. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's such a sad thing.
Yeah. And do you think, like, I don't know. I haven't really completely examined this, but maybe it's a control issue, like, where it's like you almost... You love them so much, you want to control that they, like, it just drives you crazy that they don't love you the same way back.
Yeah, for sure.
And, like, the more that you're just hyper fixated on this, like, needing them to love you back the same way, you're, like, missing the bigger picture that person's not for you.
Not for you.
Like, that the love should come, as easily as you give it, should come back to you.
Exactly.
With the right person.
And it was always a goddamn struggle with this chick. And it was always a struggle. I mean, dude, it was always a struggle, no matter what, because it's like... You know, there's just what I think a lot of our married friends think happens, where it's like a certain amount of time goes by, you stop giving a shit about that person, really,
yeah.
And like that's normal, and you guys have a marriage, and you guys are going to start doing shit and raising kids and stuff. It's like, yikes. That's fucking yikes-a-mundo.
I couldn't imagine not being best friends with the person I had to be forever
and
with.
And wanting to hang with you the most out of anybody and all that shit, dude. But there's, it's just so dark out there when you look at that kind of shit. Because it's like, but people do think that that's normal. And I started to think that was normal too. I was like, man, after a certain point, this is like the romantic period, but after a certain point.
Yeah, I started to think that was normal too.
I just thought that was normal.
I mean, a lot of people do, and that's why they go, oh, movie love doesn't exist, blah blah blah, because like we've just been shown time and time again unhealthy relationships. And you know what really helped too during this period of time? The more you get to love yourself, you start setting boundaries and breaking patterns where you're like, you know what, I love this so much, like this period of time of just being with me, that like I'm not gonna go through another relationship where I'm the only one giving. Like, I'm going to give freely, like they'll get a clean slate, but if they aren't reciprocating, I'm just not going to fight about it anymore. I'm just going to cut it off and nip it in the bud. Like we can talk about it. I'll tell them like, hey, I feel like I'm detaching from you because I don't feel like it's being reciprocated, and you have that, give them the opportunity, but you don't have to put yourself through the same thing. Now that you've been through it, you know what it's like. You can decide and choose from here. I'm not going to have an experience like that again.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I wish you the best. You're so young, and I know it feels like, I remember at that point feeling like, well, I've been depressed before, and so like, yeah, obviously this is just a cycle that keeps happening and I just got to end it, you know? But it really is like each iteration of this cycle, like you'll have ups and downs obviously in life, but you get stronger every time. Like you get very strong to where like the next time it happens, you're like, oh yeah, this hurts. Yeah, okay, but I know I can get through it.
Exactly.
Like I know I can go through it. And also, we didn't say this, but definitely go see a therapist.
She said that she was going. That's the only reason I didn't bring it up.
Yeah. Okay.
But these are formative things, man. These make you stronger, believe it or not. And we're rooting for you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, sad girl. I hope you're feeling better by now. This was back in April. So, I hope you're feeling much better. In my head, you've moved completely on. You're freaking rocking it, making clay pots everywhere.
Yes.
Okay, next question. is from, geez, there's a lot of like ad offers. Jeez. Okay. This one is titled Possible Best Friend Breakup Over Politics, Sad Face.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Well, we don't really like to talk about politics or religion on this show, but last time we did talk about religion a little bit.
So we did.
Let's hear what you have to say. Hey, Nikki and Steve, please keep me anonymous or make up a fun nickname. Also, sorry if this is too long. What's her nickname?
Tutankhamun.
Or she, or he.
Tutankhamun.
I actually don't know the gender because there's no name.
Tutankhamun.
Tutankhamun? What does that mean? What does that mean?
Well?
Tutankhamun?
Tutankhamun.
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 I don't get it.
Like the Egyptian king, the pharaoh. King Tut.
Okay.
There it is.
All right. Sorry we gave you a nickname. I apologize deeply now. First off, I wanted to say, I love this podcast and your vlogs. Nikki, I love how you think and how your brain works. It's so relatable to me and you're incredibly intelligent. Oh my gosh, thank you so much. That's so sweet. Your work ethic is admirable. I also have a cat named Joe and he's a little scaredy butt as well. Steve, you are so funny and I love your input on pretty much anything.
Aw, that's so, you're very sweet.
It's so sweet. Okay, so one of my best friends and I recently disagreed with some political views. We both don't even keep up with most political topics.
Even better.
As you know, after Roe v. Wade got overturned, it affected a lot of people on both sides. We agree on majority of things, but she's more extreme than I. After barely talking about our differences over a couple text messages, she left me on read but proceeded to post her opinions on Twitter. I didn't think much of it at first because we've had differences in opinions before. The next day, she started subtweeting me and quoting some of my opinions. This really hurt me because I'm not some stranger. We've built almost a decade worth of friendship and great memories. Why are you subtweeting me when you can just talk to me directly about it?
What's subtweeting real quick?
Subtweeting is when you say something about someone, but you don't name them.
Oh, I see.
So like when it's like...
You're talking about them, but you're not talking about
them. It's like, oh, some people need to wear a Woo hat all the time or a Kujira hat. And isn't that fucking annoying? And
that's
so I'm definitely talking about you, but I don't say who it is.
Right.
Okay, so she ended up going on a trip with her grandma a few days. So I left her alone thinking maybe she needed to cool down or needed some space. Still no word from her after she came back. I don't even know how to feel. I want to text her saying, are we even friends anymore? But not sure if I should just give her time. Also, I'm a Leo sun, Taurus moon. She's a Cancer sun, Scorpio moon. Oh, whoa, very emotional. Just putting that out there. Probably means nothing to Steve, LOL.
Yeah, facts.
Our lives are really different, but I believe even with differences in lifestyle, we can still be close friends because those things aren't the foundation of our friendship. I recently got engaged planning my wedding and she has never had a boyfriend and jokes about being a spinster when I know that's not what she truly wants. She complains about wanting a boyfriend like every week. She's been wanting to lose weight for a few years but doesn't put in the work. We started our weight loss journey together. I lost 40 pounds and she hasn't made any progress.
Congrats.
In a year. She complains about a lot of things she's unhappy with but never takes any action to change her situations. She can be stubborn, but I know she has a great heart. We can never shut up when we're together and we have the same type of humor. I truly have so much care and love for her. I always recommend her to invest in therapy. I went for about 8 months around 2019 and it completely changed my perspective in life. But she spends her money on tattoos and, to me, meaningless temporary joys, but says therapy is too expensive. I don't know. Sorry for venting. I just don't know what to do. Am I valuing this friendship more than her? Does her actions now speak louder than our history? Maybe our lives are too different now. Should I reach out? Any advice is greatly appreciated. Thank you and love you both. Thank you in advance. Oh, we're both turning 27 and turning... We're both 27 turning 28 this year. Thanks again.
Sounds like you're down to be friends and you don't know where she's at?
Yeah, I mean, the hard part is, and I think that you learn this as you get older, especially you're, you know, getting into your later 20s, is that I believe, and so does Steve believes, that being able to have an open mind and differ in opinions and perspectives with people doesn't mean that you can't be friends, you know? Like, as long as you're having respectful discourse with each other and you respect each other regardless of,
exactly,
you know, with of opinions, and you validate each other. Obviously,
there's
if
no
someone,
litmus test for friendship. It's like you don't have to believe a certain thing for me to be your friend.
Exactly. Unless it's like, oh, I think we should like rape and murder people on the regular or something like that.
On
like,
the reg.
On the reg, you know?
Like, is that a spicy take?
But I mean, most topics, especially political and religious, they get heated, but especially when you have a different opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But you should be able to, like, there are valid there are valid points on each side. Otherwise, it wouldn't be so polarizing.
Yes,
right?
Of course.
And
but,
so,
but also, your friend is not the mayor.
No.
And they're not the governor. And so sometimes we do this shit to each other. We're like yelling at them. Like they're the...
Like they're responsible
for... The tip
for
of the spear responsible for all this shit
all
happening.
Our pain.
And it's like, dude, they don't have control over anything. Neither do you. So that's why I don't do that to people.
But what's happening right now is there... And I've seen like a lot of talk of people who are like, well, I shouldn't have to listen to anyone.
Exactly.
And they'll brand it as like anyone with a different opinion, they'll brand it as something like not, I want to say hate speech, but that's not,
yeah,
like,
basically,
like something like
but
that.
I shouldn't
like
have to listen to,
like,
it.
I shouldn't even have to give them a platform or whatever.
Right.
And it's like, you're talking about your friend or like your family or people that you have loved and respected in the past, but because they have like a different opinion, you're just not even going to listen to why they have that opinion. I'd at least like to know why.
Same.
Like, even if an opinion startled me where I was like, holy shit, that's extreme and like completely different than what I believe, I still want to know why. Because then if you don't know why someone thinks the way they do, you'll never change their mind.
Yeah.
So I don't have any chance at changing their mind if I don't know really why.
Yeah.
And what the politics tends to do is like only listen to the people on our side because we're telling you what they think. But
yeah, exactly.
But you're not allowed to actually talk to them about what they think.
That's all straw manship.
We're going to tell you what they think, and then you're going to get angry about it because it's obviously ridiculous what they think. And then you don't have to talk to them about it. Like, you just know that's ridiculous.
It's like they're a bunch of tree huggers, or they think they should get to own nukes. And it's like, okay, guys.
Yeah, or whatever.
Nobody's going to meet in the middle
like,
on any of this shit.
There's just a bunch of like broad generalizations, and this is why that side's bad.
Yeah.
So I say that because it makes me sad that whenever I see someone that's like, I cut this person out of my life because blah, blah, blah. And like, it doesn't seem like they even gave the other person a chance to talk or whatever.
Well, and then they'll over explain some ridiculous thing about what they think their friend believes.
Yeah.
Instead of just like letting their friend talk for themselves.
And also like broadcasting it publicly like that.
Yeah,
that's like weird. That part is to get confirmation bias.
Yes.
That like, you're doing the right thing. Oh my God, I can't even believe you had to put up with that. They like want this like online sympathy. It's so weird.
It's a little dopamine
hit. Don't like it. It is probably a dopamine hit thing. People are really addicted to this like external validation that they get online from people agreeing with them, and like it's like this little like buzz. It's like they just like, and then they get offline and they're alone. Like alone in their room. They spend hours like in this little portal in their phone. But it's sad to me. I think you have a really great head on your shoulders. I'm sorry that some, like, you're going to have friends. Just know from this point out that there are going to be people that are your friends that just, when you disagree, they all of a sudden think they can't talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's the people who, I mean, you know, in a similar vein, I was raised where if you have an argument, you can't just go upstairs and just slam the door.
Yeah.
Like, you have to try to figure out what's going on. But then some people weren't raised that way. So they just don't have the tools, I think, to handle conflict resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if they know what to do. So I don't even necessarily blame the person. Sometimes it's just like a misfit. Like, it's not going to fit because they deal with conflict in a different way than you do.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that my way is necessarily right, because if you're that type of person, like, I have a buddy who's like, I have to walk away because I get so fucking heated that I'll ruin everything if I stay in the room. So I get it, but it's like, you know, you have
go
to
take
like
a breath and
take
then
the temperature of the room. Yeah, take a breath. But like, you know, it just depends on who your friend is and how compatible you guys are as friends too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a big part of it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, are you able to maintain a friendship with someone who's not willing to even talk to you after? That's kind of like almost like a blessing in disguise that she's showing you that. And
exactly.
Maybe there's just some growth and maturity that needs to happen within.
If she's so fragile that she can't hang or talk to you because of a political disagreement, yeah, it's not really going to be, I mean, you know, it's sort of a red flag maybe.
Yeah.
For a friendship as
well.
Or
maybe, you know, like sometimes when you start being friends, you guys are both on this level, and then one like grows and matures and the other one kind of stays at the same level, and you don't really realize how much you've drifted apart.
Yes.
Until like something like this happens where you're like, wait, you're not even going to talk to me about that? That's crazy.
Dude, I love busting my family's balls because they'll start yelling about politics or some shit at family.
It was
shit.
So startling to me because my family never talks about politics.
Oh, dude.
Your family and I'm like, I don't even know who half these
so
people
funny.
Are. Like,
but they'll be yelling about some shit, right? And then they'll say something in the room, and we're all just at my fucking grandma's house, right? And they'll say something in the room. It's like they all think we're all on TV right now, and like it fucking matters or does anything.
Yeah.
Like it's just so funny. Like nobody's the governor. Like everyone can just chill out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like when we leave here, these four walls are the only things that had to suffer all that stupid shit that was just talked about. Literally, the needle has not moved one bit.
Yeah.
So just chill out, hug your family, love your neighbor.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
what can you do?
Exactly. I mean, nothing's real. John
the
Lennon
world
said.
Is hollow.
But all I mean, what I like to do when I'm going through an issue like this is I like to zoom out and think about how little time we have on Earth. Like you're already like 27. Okay, let's say you lived to like 85, or let's say you lived to 87, just to make it easy on math. Like you got 60 more years left. Like it's gonna go by so fast. You're already a third, or fourth of the way done with that. It's crazy. Like just.
Chill.
A third away done with it.
Chill out.
Yeah, you need to chill.
Listen,
out.
The more that you guys sit there and watch your angry boxes.
Well, I don't think she needs to chill.
But people, there's people who just get stuck in these things, right? Where they're so obsessed with watching cable news or whatever, and they're just watching their anger box every night.
By design,
I think. And you know, just getting so mad at these issues that they can't do shit about. And it's like, okay, cool. Keep on voting for people who literally won't do anything about it either, dude. I promise
it's
you.
It's just better.
No matter who you vote for, they're not doing shit for you.
Don't
dude.
Hang. You're just better off without. And it's sad. And maybe it's just a temporary break. But yeah, you don't need that kind of energy in your life, I think.
Amen.
So I'm sorry. That sucks. I hope that she either grows or, you know, you grow without her.
The only things I've ever gotten in life, like that helped me progress were things that I had to do myself or build myself with people that I know and love or whatever, mm-hmm. right? But never waiting for some politician to deliver for me anything ever.
Yeah, or like yelling,
part of my mantra.
Yelling about it doesn't do, like, I've been angry at things.
Sure.
Like, you know, this Roe v. Wade thing. Yeah. But like not where I'm like yelling at, going online, trying to find everyone that disagrees with me to yell at them, or like to people who in my family thinks this way and I'm gonna go find them and yell at them or whatever.
It's so wild.
Like, why waste your energy on that? It's not, they don't get to do anything about it. Maybe they have some warped views on, you know, maybe we have differences of opinion, but they can't, it's like, it's not up to, it's out of our control.
Yep.
And it sucks. So let's just put our energy towards something more useful. That's how I feel about politics in general. It just is a bunch of energy drain on everybody.
Yep.
And
it's by design. It's there to try to warp your brain about
to
somebody
keep you
else.
And negative.
Not to have clarity about what other people think, but to instead tilt you in a certain way so that it suits their needs.
Divisive.
Yes.
For elections.
Yes.
To get votes at elections.
I mean, people who are obsessed with politics, like there's a guy named Chris Matthews who used to be on MSNBC all the time. And he would talk about how every time he mentioned the word politics, it was about the politics of this issue. It's about how they can stuff it through the TV to bend people's like wills in one way or another. That's what the game is of politics. People. Mm-hmm. People know that. They even, Bob Woodward wrote a whole book about it called The Price of Politics. I read that book. It's so fascinating how they play these games with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And like behind closed doors, they all like agree on certain things, but then they go politically deal with it. You know, it's
theater,
fascinating.
It's all art of war.
Yeah,
theater,
it is.
So, well, once one entity owns both sides, that's how the world runs. They just, one entity owns both sides. If you look up the Rothschilds, it's pretty fucking crazy. Like, they used to hold all these wars.
Spicy.
Where they, like, they fund both sides of the wars. And it's just to keep the commoners fighting, so you don't even look up. You don't look up and
don't
see who's
up.
Running the whole show.
Don't look up.
So, like, they just, hey, we own you and you, and you're going to fight about this, and here's the talking points, and go. And then we'll pay you to stay. We'll give you a life of luxury, but
welcome,
you guys got to fight in public.
Welcome to crony capitalism, corporatist America. I love it. I need it. And
it's
I want
just a little,
it.
That's why we don't talk about politics on here. So
yep.
There's that. Anyway, we're going to go to a break. Buy whatever we tell you to buy and download whatever we tell you to download, especially Best Fiends. I mean, I don't know what I'm saying.
Love Best Fiends.
Dua Lipa.
You know, when I play my music to people who I really respect or look up to, then I hear my songs in a different perspective.
Cardi B.
I know what it feels like when you feel like everybody turn your back and like, don't ever think it's because you did something wrong.
Harry Styles.
I feel like I'm falling more and more in love with making music each time I get to do it.
You know these artists for their songs, videos, and epic performances.
But they have so many stories beyond their fame.
That's what we're here to share with you on the Spout Podcast.
We sit down with some of the biggest names in music.
And along the way, our guests reveal stories that even their biggest fans may have never heard before.
Check out the Spout Podcast to hear famous people spout off about more than what they're famous for.
And find out who's spouting off next.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark. Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
All right, we're back, and we have more of your questions. Again, if you have a question you would like to submit to the show, we are not experts, disclaimer, but podcast@nikki.limo. That's podcast@nikki.limo. Okay, this next one is titled Reconnecting with Friends. A lot of friendship ones.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Nikki and Steve. I love listening to your podcast going to work and going home from work. Since 2020, I've been distancing myself from my friends from high school and college due to my anxiety being really high when I interact with people. I want to reconnect back with friends since I have a better handle on my anxiety, but just being around people. But every time I want to message them online, my anxiety gets back to me since I don't know how to start the conversation since we haven't talked since 2020. I have seen them online in the video games that we play, and I want to ask them to play together, but because we haven't talked in a while, how do I go back to talking to them weekly to not talking to them at all for the past few weeks?
How do you get back to weekly after not talking to them for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would it be weird to reach out to them because we haven't talked in a while? More context. We are all 24 years old, if that helps. Thank you, Iceman and Nikki, for the advice.
Just reach out.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
I know that's easy, but
you're making it a bigger deal in your head.
Yeah.
And so it seems really big to you, but to them it's not that big of a deal. Like, if you reached out of the blue, they're not like, whoa, this is weird. We haven't talked in so long. He's just randomly gonna act like we're friends still. Like, they're like, no one's like that.
Shit happens, routines change. Now you just have to cycle yourself back in.
If you got a text from a friend that you used to talk to all the time and they were like, hey, I miss you. What's up?
You would be like, what?
Yeah, you would be like, what a weirdo. You'd be like, oh, cool, I miss them.
But we haven't talked in like a certain period of time. This is very odd.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody thinks
no
like that.
Yeah, no one like hyperanalyzes that.
Nobody thinks like that.
Let your worries go away. And then if it makes you feel better, well, sometimes like when I have anxiety, I'm just imagining the worst case scenario. I'm like,
Yes. Worst
case scenario, they're like, what a weirdo. And I'm like, that's weird. Like, they're weird for doing that. So like, it's not
Therefore,
on you.
They're weird.
Yeah, you're not the weird one. Anyway, go have fun with your friends, man.
For real.
All right, next question. Creepy Night Shift Story is the name of this topic. I don't read any of these beforehand, so it gets me going when I read the topic title. Dearest Crypto King and Icebreaker. Hello.
Hello.
Breaker, 1, 2, 3. As of the time I am typing this email, I am getting off work, 4 a.m. for the listeners. It is yet again that binge listening janitor that has a podcast playing the entire 9 hours
he is cleaning
someone's office/restroom. It's a boring shift when there isn't a new big mood episode keeping me company. Or should they don't tell you? I would assume he only put in a big mood, but
well,
okay.
That won't last for long.
Hey, I seriously can't get enough of it, but it's something that I always look forward to. Keep it up. I'm cheering y'all from the inside of a quiet building all by myself, or am I really alone? Working at night has its perks. No one on the road, no people to bother you, and I get to avoid the blistering sun. You're like a vampire, man.
Yeah.
The minor downsides are not many stores are open, nobody is awake, my girlfriend will set alarms to wake up and call me to make sure I'm not dead, lol, and just overall pretty lonely. I'm okay with most of these things, but recently my employers changed my route, meaning I get a set of new places to clean, one of which is a nursing school. I absolutely hate it here, with a capital H. Working in this location made me discover a new fear I have, and that is the fear of dolls. This location is full of mannequins in beds for simulations in this field. Oh my God, that is creepy. I feel like while I mop the room with this row of dolls in beds, they just turn and look at me. So I keep my head down and I try not to look at them. Turns up podcast audio. My most recent shift scared me the most, surpassing the initial fear I had beyond anything I felt. Picture this. You're standing in a long, dim hallway vacuuming. The time is almost 3:30 a.m. The power goes out for just a second, and then it comes back on. Moments later, you hear something moving around in a bed behind a locked door. I'm not saying flipping over the pillow type of moving. I'm saying a wild animal is stuck in a cage and trying to break out. Keep in mind, I am alone for all 9 hours. This is the same room that gave me bad vibes since day one, so I always lock the door the second I leave it. I refuse to check what it was. I lock all the rooms, clocked out early, armed the building, and bolted home. As I'm locking the doors, I'm texting my girlfriend what is happening, and she's freaking out just as much. I stop replying because I'm trying to leave this place ASAP, and she calls in an explosion of worry. She stays with me on the phone just in case something else happens. This encounter is one of the many types of stories us nighttime workers come across. I have a video of a drawer opening on its own.
What?
Oh my God. Audio of restroom stalls slamming and just mind-bending stories people might find me crazy for telling. Unfortunately, I have to go back again tonight and the next day and the next day until I decide I've had enough of this place. Do you think I'll get over my fear of dolls? What are ways to just conquer my fears like these mentally straining moments? I don't know, man. That freaks me the fuck out. I couldn't do it. I would have to quit.
Scary, bud.
I quit immediately. Immediately, no.
Dude, I just saw a fucking ghost, 100%.
I know. You told me about that.
Yeah, that was fucking weird.
Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah. I talked about it a little bit on JK.
But you weren't scared.
No, I wasn't scared, but it was fucking weird.
If that happened, I'd be scared shitless.
Yeah, that's weird, dude.
Because that sounds like a mean entity.
Yeah, man. So,
the thing you saw wasn't mean.
No. So me and Nikki, we were recently staying, bless you, at a hotel in LA at the Bicycle Hotel.
A haunted hotel.
Yeah, exactly. Just a fucking gambling hotel, right? And we were both, you know, asleep and shit. And then I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm facing the alarm clock. And I'm like awake for like, I don't know, 2 minutes. And then I turn over just to like, you know, adjust or whatever. I turn myself over. And then I just see this fucking dude standing over me and Nikki's bed. It's just like, you know, it's a completely dark room.
But do you see like a face and a...
Don't see a face. I just see complete shadow like of a man standing mm-hmm. there, right? And he's like gaunt. He's like fucking like a skinny dude.
Oh.
He's just standing there. And there's this white lamp behind where that guy's at, right?
Yeah.
That I can't see because he's standing in front of it.
Oh.
He's not translucent or any bullshit. He's just like, it's just like you wake up and there's just a fucking dude
like a
standing.
A silhouette. There.
Yeah. And I was so confused because I was like, whoa, there's just a fucking dude in here. But I wasn't like, holy shit, like I want to fucking jump up right now and get a baseball bat. It was like one of those, it was just a weird thing. Like, what the fuck? There's a dude in here. Like, what is going on? And then I started to sit up and he like, kind of stepped back,
mm-hmm.
like moved back closer to the lamp further into the corner.
Yeah.
And then I was like confused, like looking around, and then he's just gone. And there's no artifact on my eyes from like, you know, seeing something or any of that. I was already awake for 2 minutes. And then, yeah, I'm looking at you and you're just fucking passed out.
I'm gone.
And this dude's gone now. I completely see the lamp.
That was like
now.
The same experience I had on the Queen Mary.
It was so
a couple,
weird.
Few years ago.
I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, tell me.
Yeah,
about
it was
the
like,
Queen
Mary. Well, I think I've told it before, but
but we might as well scare the shit out of our janitor listener.
Well, these were a harmless type of like, if it was a ghost, it was pretty harmless because I've always said I never want to see a ghost. Like, if the ghosts are real, I don't want to see them. I just don't think I could handle it. I'd be scared shitless. But this, because it was so neutral, like it was a shadowy figure. I thought it was you sitting up in bed, and because there was a window and it blocked like the window. Like there's like these little portholes, and it blocked the light because there's like light coming through it and it blocked it. And so I thought you were sitting up in bed. And so I wake up and I'm like, what's wrong? What's wrong? Honey, what's wrong? And you're not answering. And then I look down and you're sleeping in bed. And I look back up and the thing is gone. And so, but it was like a full on, like it looked like you were sitting up in bed looking at me.
Yep.
And so
there's no translucent. You just see thought, a dark figure.
And I wasn't even freaked out like I thought I would be.
Same.
I was like, yeah, there was no face or anything. It just like as if you were blocking the light. Like I couldn't, you're backlit, so I couldn't see. But like it was like you were looking at me, and it happened twice.
In that room.
In that room, yeah.
So you fall back asleep and you wake up and it happened again, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that being said, Steve, this is a quote from this morning. Steve said, "I am terrified of you. I saw a ghost 2 weeks ago and I wasn't even scared at all, but I am deathly frightened of you."
I'm way more scared of you.
I'm way more scared of you. So think of it this way. Mr. Janitor friend, it could be me walking in the hallways.
That's true.
And that would be way more scary.
That would be way more scary.
Because Steve Green has seen ghosts and says, I'm way more scary.
Nikki's way more scary.
I'm terrifying, actually.
Nikki on a tear.
That ghost, way more terrifying. It thinks it's making all kinds of crazy sounds in there, like banging around. Like, I could do a way better job.
Yes, she can.
I'd be way louder than that ghost. I have been. I will be in the right future. Now. I will always be. I throw tantrums. Yep. I mosh around the room. Yep. Steve talks about it. I kicked a cement pillar with my foot in sandals, I think.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know what?
I think they were kids.
Say something, Paul. Say something. And that pole was scared. It crumbled.
Surprised you didn't break your fucking foot, honestly.
I think I might have slightly fractured a toe, but I didn't want to talk about it. Because you should have seen the other guy.
The temper on this lady is hilarious. Because she's just a tiny lady in a tiny little body. But her temper is hilarious.
So come over, spend a week with me, and then your job will be nothing. Piece of cake.
True.
Piece of cake. Yeah,
you won't be scared anymore.
No, but that shit freaks me out. I watch all kinds of ghost shows and like... if there's like drawers opening on their own, or like I'm alone and there's like doors slamming, or no, immediately no, I'm done.
I always thought like seeing a ghost would be like fucking, you know, translucent glow thing, like Hollywood shit.
I always thought it'd be like a little creepy girl that was asked if I want to play with her.
I know. Instead, both times I've seen something, it was like, you know, that time where I saw some figure in my mom's old room when I was a kid. Visiting from San Diego or visiting San Diego from Virginia, just like the orange glow of the alarm clock. I see this dark figure standing over my bed when I wake up in the middle of the night.
Maybe you should stop looking at alarm clocks.
I know, right? Well, why are they always in fucking bedrooms? Always.
They bring the
spirits.
Are there alarm clocks next to the dolls?
And the door's completely closed and there's just this fucking dude standing over my bed and it didn't feel bad at all. Same kind of shit.
Yeah.
But it had been so long since I saw something like this. It's not something I think about a lot, you know?
Yeah.
But then, seeing this guy, I was like, that was just like...
But when you have sleep paralysis, you have...
Oh, yeah, but that's different because it's a totally different thing because I'm like awake and like in my body and present and shit.
When you saw that neutral ghost.
When I saw the neutral ghost. Yeah. But the shadow men guys are like fucking floating and shit.
Okay.
And they're like talking to me.
Shit. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's way different.
I don't know how to get over fear of dolls. I've never liked dolls. I have only been given a doll like once in my life from my grandma, and I threw it in my parents' closet and I refused to look at it and I cried in the middle of the night. I hate dolls.
Dolls are scary.
Yeah. They have no business looking like people. My parents, no business.
My parents got my sister an American Girl doll.
Yeah.
I remember during this very famous Christmas where she cried nonstop after because she wanted like a Miss Potty pants or some shit.
Yeah.
And my parents spent more money to get the American doll.
I heard of
and
this
my
story.
Sister fucking hated it.
Yeah. Miss Potty pants.
Miss Potty pants, whatever. Some cheap ass thing. And that's when my mom realized, like, don't try to outsmart kids. Just get them exactly what they want.
Yeah. It's like when you go to a restaurant and you want spaghetti and they order you some fancy pasta and you're like, this isn't fucking spaghetti.
Yeah. This is farfalle or whatever.
Or like, I want macaroni. Oh, they have macaroni and cheese, but it's not Kraft macaroni and cheese. It's like some like very expensive, like, rich cheese, and you're like, I hate this.
Honestly, that's one of the worst things. That's one of the most disappointing things is having macaroni and cheese that isn't just Kraft macaroni.
Yeah,
and cheese. It's always disappointing.
Kids just want what they want, what they're used to. They don't know like what's more quality, what's more expensive.
The only other mac and cheese that I think can hang, is maybe KFC's mac and cheese. It's pretty fucking good.
I don't remember it.
It's pretty damn.
I like when people make their own mac and cheeses now, like as an adult.
I prefer
Kraft. As a kid, it's like, I only know one mac and cheese and that's the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you serve me some other shit, like you're wrong.
Yeah. I remember I had some friends get into the Velveeta shells and cheese.
Yeah.
It's respectable.
I liked it.
It's not the same. It's respectable.
Respectable, yeah. Not the same, though.
Not the same.
No, you need that bright neon orange made of chemicals.
I need to glow.
Mm-hmm. I need my insides to feel sticky.
Exactly.
Anyway, yeah, throw the that job in the garbage.
Nice. Hey, nice.
I was going to say throw the dolls in the garbage, but you know what? No, just gone. I'm gone.
Yeah, that's...
No, I'm out of there.
That's not fun.
Do you think dolls were invented so that demons could have bodies to go in?
Yeah, of course that's why they invented.
I mean, I feel creeped out by dolls.
I 100% think that.
Ugh, look at you with people eyes.
Yeah, cold people eyes.
Ugh. I feel for you, man. Hey.
100%.
You know? Email us if you're ever, can you take a video and email that?
Yeah, can I see your drawer video, Ben?
Yeah, or like the wild animal sounds. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's sick.
Okay, we have one more question.
Okay.
And this is titled, Boyfriend Has Been Meeting Up With His Ex Behind My Back.
Oh, that's devastating.
No, this is worse than ghosts. Nick, please keep anonymous. Okay, will do. That was very highlighted in bold and capitalized.
Understood.
Hey, Nikki and Steve, been a listener for a while now, and I find myself agreeing with almost all the advice you both give, so I thought I could use some of that good advice right now.
Let's go.
It's awesome. It's not professional advice, but thank you. I'm glad you appreciate it. I'm a 23-year-old male, and my boyfriend is 21. Let's call my boyfriend Alex, okay? We met in college and became very good friends. He's really good-looking, extremely intelligent, and funny as fuck.
Hey, congrats.
Nice. We both thought we were straight until a year later when Alex came out to me as gay and introduced me to his boyfriend at the time. Let's call him Kevin. I didn't come out to him because I didn't want to make things weird between the three of us, and I also had a feeling Kevin was jealous of me. They ended up breaking up later that year, and Alex and I got together in summer of 2021. Turns out Kevin was jealous of me. So, just what you thought.
Mm-hmm.
And my friendship with Alex caused some problems with their relationship. Anyway... He was right. Yeah. Alex is my first relationship ever. And at this point, I know I'm ready to be in a relationship thanks to all the dating advice you give. Aw.
Let's go.
Early in the relationship, I noticed Alex has a photo album of Kevin on his phone, but I didn't make a big deal about it. Alex also admitted that back when he and Kevin were dating, Kevin texted him what he was doing with Alex. And what he was doing, and Alex replied that he was at home. Kevin went to surprise him at his place, but he wasn't home. Turns out Alex was at Disneyland with his sugar daddy, and that also caused problems with the relationship.
Get the fuck out of
you
here.
Think?
All right, this is interesting as fuck.
I love this juicy relationship when people submit this stuff. Because I'm like, ooh, I'm an old married woman, and I don't get any drama in mine.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, he was at Disneyland with his sugar daddy. Alex said there wasn't anything going on with the sugar daddy and it was purely for money, and he admits that it was a bad thing that he did that and it made him so sad to fuck up the relationship. I also didn't make a big deal out of it and thought it was great he was being honest and real with a story like that. He has been a great and loving boyfriend and I don't have anything to complain about until now. I have a habit of looking through his phone. I know it's bad, but I can't help it.
You're bad.
You know what? When you have a hunch, because I've never looked through Steve's phone ever. But
a lot of pictures of your butt.
Both through my ex-boyfriend's phone all the motherfucking time because I had this like hunch and I was always right. And that's the thing. It's like, yes, it's bad to look through someone's phone. You should respect their privacy. And if you're doing that or feel the need to do that, you probably shouldn't be with that person and you have trust issues. But at the same time, I think like at least having that evidence made me feel less crazy. And then I was able to feel better about us breaking up because I was confirmed right.
Yeah.
Whereas like he would lie to me if I just asked him straight out.
Right.
Anyway, I found out he has been texting his ex and he even has the flexing arm emoji next to his name. This made me a little jealous since I also work out, but I still didn't make a big deal about it. They were also mostly some short texts and some happy birthday texts. And later I found out that they had also texted on Snapchat. Since Snapchat deletes texts, there wasn't much for me to see, but I saw Alex had saved a text from his ex saying, "Thanks, Pa." Pa is short for Poppy. Why is he calling my boyfriend Pa? But whatever, I brush it off again. Wow, you're really patient. A few months later, I found out that Alex still has a flirty picture of Kevin shirtless on his bed in a photo album. I didn't notice this in the first time I looked through it, but then I still let it slide. Now, a year later into the relationship, I found out through his text messages that Alex has been hanging out with his ex, Kevin, recently. I only had a short time to look through his phone, but I learned they hung out 4 weeks ago and with both of their friends. Another time where Kevin sent Alex his location to meet up, and another time where Kevin asked to hang out, but Alex couldn't. This all occurred in the last 2 months. This really hurt my feelings and now caused trust issues. I don't think there's anything bad going on because in the text, Kevin said all he wants to do is hang out, but still respects our current relationship. Kevin even told my boyfriend to say hi to me for him, but yeah, Alex says never mentioned the fact that they still text and hang out together. I'm done letting things slide, and I want to tell Alex about everything I mentioned.
Put your foot down.
Yeah.
What the hell?
There shouldn't be any secrets going on between couples, right? I would be fine with him texting and hanging out because I don't want to be a toxic boyfriend cutting off connection with his ex. However, the fact that Alex is keeping this a secret for me is what hurts. That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
I would talk to my boyfriend about it, but I also don't want to admit that I looked through his phone. It also bothers me since I'm not sure how long this is going on for. I know it's toxic for me to look through his phone, but at this point, I think the suspicions are justified. Should I just wait for the right moment to confront Alex about all this, or should I just admit that I looked through his phone and confront him about it now? Are we both just toxic for each other? Also, love the podcast. Keep up the great work. Love both of you guys.
Love you.
We love you too.
We love you.
And this
but
sucks.
You got to stick up for yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what you're not doing.
But how would you do it?
Not be a carpet.
No, I know, but like he's saying, he's going to stick up for himself,
okay.
But he doesn't want to admit that he's been going through the phone.
You can't do shady shit and not admit it.
Yeah.
You have to fucking admit it.
I did when I confronted my ex first. I said, hey, is there something you want to tell me? Like, is with your ex, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, no. And then I was like, okay, this is really shitty, but I felt weird and I looked at your phone because I just... So it felt like something was off, and I know I shouldn't have looked at your phone. I'm really sorry about it.
I'm really sorry that I found out that you're shady.
But I also found all these texts from your ex and blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, you got to be prepared that they're going
to
throw it on you.
They're going to deflect it back to you,
yeah. That you went through their phone. But
they did shady shit.
They did way shadier shit, and this is just a deflection.
Yeah,
so, you know, I don't know. Maybe
they got to try, though. They
or
gotta
you
try.
Could wait for the next time something shady happens and try to catch it happening.
Yeah, why don't you try to catch him fucking? You know, how far are we going to take this thing?
I don't know.
I mean, give me a break already. If you know something, yes, you achieved it through illicit means and you were a very naughty boy for that. However, if you did shady shit, you got to own the cause, right? Why am I coming to you? It's because I did this, but you are fucking shady.
Yeah. And maybe there's a reason that you went through it. Like, was there something that spawned the interaction? Like, so for me, it'd be like my boyfriend was like ignoring me and I was like, hey, I really want to hang out tonight. And he was like making up all these excuses why he has to go out and like write, like because he needs to write. And he's a writer and he needs to write alone. And he was just going to go by himself somewhere. And then I'd be like, okay, I mean, I'm going to give people their space. Sometimes I like to be alone. Like, we live together. Like, I lived in a studio. And so it was like, maybe he needs some space. Sure, that's valid. But I just had this feeling that, like, because he came home at, like, 5 in the morning. And it's like, where are you even writing at 5 in the morning? The bars close at 2.
Yep.
Because we're in California, not in Las Vegas.
Hilarious.
And so it's like, where were you between 2 and 5? Like, where was that? And so, yeah, I didn't want to seem like a crazy. So I was basically being a crazy in secret by, like, waiting for him to go to bed. He falls asleep. I look through his phone and find all this shit. Like him texting girls, pictures of him dancing with girls, like all kinds of shit. And it's like, wow, he really like made me feel guilty because I was like really wanting to hang out. He's like, I need my space. I need my space.
Yeah.
And then he's like dancing with girls all night.
Babe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they go back and hang out at their friend's place and like they're all like hanging out together, whatever. Really fucking bullshit shit. But then it's like, how do I bring this up? Now my heart is in my stomach and I feel like really betrayed. And how do I bring this up? I can't just say like, well, I waited till you went to sleep and then I looked at your phone. But like,
yes, you can.
I had to.
Yeah, you have to.
So I did. And then we always had this thing where we didn't have passwords on our phones so that we could like, you know, have an open trust. And then he started putting passwords on his phone, which made me even more suspicious of shit. So then instead of being like, oh, you're safe because you have a password. No, buddy, I'm going to watch you put in the password. Obviously, yeah, when you think I'm not looking, I'm fucking looking and I'm going to see your password. And then I'm waiting to go to sleep and I'm going to fucking get in your phone again and find out what you're hiding from me.
This is called a toxic person gives you advice.
So what I'm saying is it didn't end well.
Yeah.
But you should confront them and give them the opportunity. However, when you get these suspicions again, instead of slowly spiraling into a crazy person that can't not check your person's phone, you recognize you have trust issues and it's just not gonna work.
Yeah, exactly.
So I would allow him some grace, but also he's 21 years old.
Yeah, what do you want?
He did some shady shit to his last boyfriend and now, like, sometimes you just don't learn if you didn't have to learn. So I don't know. He's maybe in a different phase of his life. And
you're going
maybe
through that phone because your relationship has trust gaps.
Yeah, there are cracks.
And you know it and we know it.
And you feel betrayed. Like, someone's hiding something from me.
Exactly.
Like, if Steve was not telling me that he was going to hang out with his ex, now it's a secret. Why is it a secret? Exactly. If there's not shady shit going on, why is it a secret?
Exactly.
That's
because
the thing.
It needs to be a secret because I am being shady.
Exactly. Or you just feel like you don't want me to overreact to something, which is still super shady.
Why am I in a relationship with you?
Exactly. Then why are you with me if you think that I'm going to overreact to something and we can't have a decent conversation about it?
Yep.
So, yeah,
you don't get to enjoy the benefits of a monogamous relationship like the way that I do.
Yeah.
And then not have to sacrifice certain things for that.
Yeah, or like even just have a discussion.
Exactly. Like, but that's what I mean. So, like, I can't just go hang out with my ex willy-nilly and then just blame it on Nikki and say, yeah, because I was afraid you'd freak out. But I still want the benefits of my monogamous relationship. It's like there are responsibilities inside of it that help you to maintain that monogamous relationship that you have to take into account.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. Every relationship is just an agreed upon set of rules. Mm-hmm. And so if you both agree, like, hey, we don't hold anything from each other, I mean, maybe that's a conversation to have. Maybe definitely. You didn't set those rules in the beginning. So maybe set those rules. And once it's an agreement and you both agree that in your relationship you do things that way, then if one person breaks it, now, like, it's very valid that you have trust issues.
Exactly.
But you definitely have to talk to them. And that's the only way that they're probably going to learn.
But what do you want out of this? Because I'm not even clear necessarily. Like, you obviously want to confront the situation.
Well, it sounds like they want to.
But then they say at the same time, I don't want him to not hang out with his ex anymore.
Well, no, I get what he's trying to say. Because, like, so in my ex relationship, I was like very chill girlfriend, like, go hang out with whoever you want. But it's very out in the open, like, hey, I'm going to have dinner with so and so. And, like, things that we have agreed in our relationship are not okay.
Yeah.
And that was just like a mutually, we had long discussions and, like, it was like, yeah, you know what? It does make me feel a lot more comfortable. Like, you were actually the one that said to me, like, I don't think it's cool to go have dinner with an ex.
Yep.
And I was like, I always felt that way, but I felt like I was being too controlling by, like, voicing how I feel.
Call me controlling, but I think that's whack.
But it really is just like in some people's relationships, they're super cool about it. And some people's are like, hey, you know what? I agree. I'm not very comfortable with it. So, like,
and that's for me. Like, maybe other people, hey, you like it, go for it, dude.
Yeah,
honestly,
I'm not saying, like, because I remember I said this before and people were like, I can't believe that you and Steve, like, won't hang out with people. Like, you won't go to dinner with someone of the opposite gender. And it's like, yo, like, do whatever you want in your relationship.
Yeah, don't do it.
We are very clear about what makes us feel comfortable or not. Yeah. And if I did want to go to dinner with a friend of the opposite gender, there would be a discussion. And, like, Steve would have to feel comfortable before I ever agreed to doing something like that.
And honestly, it would probably be something business related or whatever, and I wouldn't give a fuck. But it's not. But it's not.
But
so,
but there's a discussion because we've already had.
It sounds so rigid.
No.
But it's just these.
It's
innate,
a general guideline.
It's just these innate things that we just do in our relationship.
And if it didn't, like, if there was totally, like, there's nothing weird about going to have dinner, then why does it make me feel a little bit icky to do it without asking?
That's exactly
right. You know, like, it makes me feel like I'm hiding something when there's nothing to be hidden.
Yep.
So what he's saying is, like, hey, as long as there's nothing to be hidden, I'm really cool with you hanging out with whoever you want. But the fact that you chose to hide this makes me think that there's something shady.
Totally.
So I think what he's saying out of this is, like, he's not the type that feels uncomfortable with this guy hanging out with people unless it's going to be this, like, secret.
Yeah, so if you're going to... So that's what I was getting at. Like, what do you want out of this? So maybe it's, like...
Open communication.
If you're going to be doing this, I need to know about it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, the more you have communication and be very clear about what you both want and what you agree upon, the better your relationship will
You'll have more trust.
Yep.
You'll appreciate your partner more. You'll notice that your partner will just naturally do the nice trusting thing instead of the opposite thing. And then be like, what? I didn't know that you cared about that. Which is such a bullshit thing that we all have done before.
And if they continue to break trust, then get out.
Yeah.
Get out of there. You don't need it. You don't need that in your life. There's better relationships to be had. But yeah, I feel for you. And you can do this.
You got this.
You can do this. And it'll only... If it's meant to be, it'll only make your relationship stronger.
Never be scared of sticking up for yourself, ever.
Totally. If something feels off, you should definitely address it. Yep. Like, don't feel weird about seeming weird.
Yep.
Like, if your partner respects you, they'll listen, then they'll understand. Like, they'll try to understand your point of view.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for sending in all your questions. Again, if you have a question you would like us to answer in our very non-expert opinions, feel free to message us, podcast@nikki.limo. That's podcast@nikki.limo. Also, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/sticky, STIKKI. And buy whatever we told you to buy during the ad break, you know? Please. Tell our sponsors we sent you and like all that jazz.
Helps a lot. Thank you for supporting the show.
We love you.
Bye.
See you next time. Bye.